This is the general audience of Pope Benedict XVI on Wednesday, December the 27th in the year 2006. Why did God do it? Dear brothers and sisters, today's meeting takes place in the Christmas atmosphere pervaded with an intimate joy for the birth of the Savior. We have just celebrated, the day before yesterday, this mystery whose echo expands in the liturgy of all these days. It is a mystery of light that men and women of every age can relive in faith. The words of John the Evangelist, whose feast we celebrate today, resounds in our hearts. Et verbum caro factum est, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At Christmas, therefore, God comes to dwell among us. He comes for us to remain with us. A question passes through these 2,000 years of Christian history. Why did he do it? Why did God become man? The song that the angels intone over the Grotto of Bethlehem helps us to respond to this question. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The canticle of Christmas night found in the Gloria is already part of the liturgy, like the other three canticles of the New Testament, which refer to the birth and the infancy of Jesus, the Benedictus, the Magnificat, and the Nunc Dimittis. While these latter are inserted respectively in the morning lauds, in the evening prayer of Vespers, and in the night prayer of Compline, the Gloria has found its own place in the Holy Mass. From the second century, some acclamations were added to the angel's words. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your immense glory. And later, other invocations. Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, to formulate an arioso hymn of praise that is sung for the first time in the Mass of Christmas and thereafter on all feast days. Inserted at the beginning of the Eucharistic celebration, the Gloria emphasizes the continuity that exists between the birth and the death of Christ, between Christmas and Easter, inseparable aspects of the one and the same mystery of salvation. The Gospel narrates that the angelic multitude sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom he loves." The angels announced to the shepherds that the birth of Jesus is glory for God in the highest heavens, and is peace on earth to those whom he loves. It is thus opportune to place these angelic words over the Grotto to explain the mystery of the birth that takes place in the crib. The term glory, doxa, indicates the splendor of God that sparks the thankful praise of creatures. St. Paul will say, "It is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Peace, Irene, summarizes the fullness of the messianic gifts, the salvation that, as the Apostle notes, identifies with Christ himself, for he is our peace. Lastly, there is the reference to men of goodwill. Goodwill, oidokia, in common language, makes one think of the goodwill of men, but here it means the goodwill of God toward men, which knows no limit. And here, then, is the Christmas message with the birth of Jesus. God has manifested his goodwill toward all. Let us return to the question, why did God make himself man? St. Irenaeus writes, "The Word made himself dispenser of the Father's glory for the benefit of men." The glory of God is the living man, vivens homo. And the life of man consists in the vision of God. The glory of God is manifest, therefore, in the salvation of man whom God so loved, so to give, as evangelist John affirms, his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hence, love is the ultimate reason for the incarnation of Christ. In this regard, the reflection of the theologian von Balthasar is eloquent, in which he wrote, God is not, in the first place, absolute power, but absolute love, whose sovereignty is not manifest in keeping for himself what belongs to him, but in his abandonment. The God we contemplate in the crib is God love. At this point, the message of the angels resounds for us as an invitation, glory be to the God in the highest of heavens, peace be on earth to those whom he loves. The only way to glorify God is to build peace in the world. It consists in the humble and trusting welcoming of the gift of Christmas, love. The song of the angels can then become a prayer to repeat often, not only in this Christmas season. It is a hymn of praise to God in the highest of heavens and a fervent invocation of peace on earth, which translates into a complete commitment to build it with our life. This is the duty that Christmas entrusts to us. And peace is the Lord's farewell gift to us. Before he ascended into heaven, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give. It's not the peace of the prison, because we are free people. It's not the peace of the cemetery, because we're alive. It's a peace that comes with the conviction that we are one with God in his holy will. And that's why the motto of Pope John the 23rd, now blessed, was Pax et Obedientia, peace and obedience. When we conform ourselves to the expectations of God, then we can expect peace. But peace is never in a package with anything else. It's never alone. Like peace and justice. When we give to everybody what's coming to them, their fair share, then we can expect peace. Peace and penance, too, to make those sacrifices that our God is asking of us. And if we want to know the sacrifice he wants from us right now, give yourselves 2 minutes, so if you're going to keel over dead here in 2 minutes. What is it right now that you and I are clutching that we know for sure we would have to dump in order to embrace him and his will completely? There are two ends in the word penance. One is for your name and one is for my name. And if I can believe these apparitions of our Blessed Lady in so many places, that's her great message. We can expect peace. She will give the peace to us if we do what God, her divine Son, is asking of us. Yes, we want this peace. We want to share it with everybody whose lives we touch. That's why St. Francis, who gave us the custom of the Christmas crib at Greccio in the year 1223, used as his motto, this calling. His address to everybody he ever met was Pax et Bonum, peace and every blessing. Peace is every blessing. It's a summary of all the virtues put together, like Christian joy. If I can believe this incarnation, this enfleshment of our God, everything else in Christianity is almost, by comparison, trivial for me to believe. That he would die on the cross for me, yes. That he would rise from the dead, yes. That he would give himself to me and to us into Holy Communion, yes. That he would come to be our judge at the moment of death and for all of us at the general judgment at the end of the world, yes, 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 to all of this. If I can believe that he became one of us to stay one of us for keeps. And for that's the giant step from the status of creator to the status of a creature, from God to man, from heaven to earth, from eternity to time. And that's why everybody should learn that beautiful prayer of the Angelus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. She conceived not from Saint Joseph, from the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. And Mary's response, echoing what Jesus just said on coming into the world, I've come to do thy will, O God, with all the consciousness of the Son of God. Mary's response, be it done unto me according to thy word. And then the greatest line that was ever composed with human language, and the word was made flesh. The word is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Son. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, it was the Franciscans that gave us the Angelus, I'm told. But St. Francis and his philosophers and theologians had another special theory. You may not agree with this. Some Dominicans don't. We believe that our God would have become man even if there were no original sin or sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. So much did God love us. In the mind of God, before the creation of any minerals, plants, animals, men, and angels, at the peak of this pyramid of creation is the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ. And of course, the one who channeled that to him, Mary, the Mother of God. And everything else in creation is meant for the glorification of the God-man in human form. And the angels were asked to adore this God in human form. And those who adored stayed angels for all eternity, or for the eternity of an angel's existence. But those who failed to adore Jesus in human form were cast into hell for all of the eternity of a devil's existence. Yes, learn to pray the answer. This is the best prayer that truly summarizes the expectations of God in our lives. Man fully alive is the glory of God. Yes, he does love us. That's the only reason why he became one of us. Why should such a wonderful thing as the human nature of the God-man be made dependent for its existence upon us, the sin of a measly creature like Adam and Eve? See, love always wants to give and to share. And that's what we call creation. Love wants to speak to the one it loves. And that's revelation. Love wants to be like the one it loves. That's the incarnation. Love wants to suffer for the one it loves. That's redemption. Love wants to be close to the one it loves. That's the Holy Eucharist. Love wants to be united with the one it loves. That's Holy Communion. And love wants to rejoice with the one it loves. And that's paradise that awaits us all if we persevere in God's love. And that's our prayer. Lord, please, please give me the grace of final perseverance to live and to die with your life, your grace, and your love within my heart.